We go. So it said, right? Go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Preacher announced one Sunday he's going to be preaching a series of sermons on heaven. Isn't that amazing? And as the gentleman was passing out the door, going by him, he said, I really wish you wouldn't do that. I said, well, why not? He said, because I believe that subject is going to be way above my head. Morning, Dina. Hi, Doug and Judy. Hi, everybody. How are you doing today? If I feel a little hoarse or whatever, that's okay. Okay? But I'm not an old nag like some people. I mean, no, I'm not. We've been talking about heaven. We've seen that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. No doubt Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. He's made that very plain. You cannot look in the context of Scripture and not understand that the whole program of God is for you and I to share eternal life with Him. And so as you and I look at that perspective this morning, again, we know that heaven is an eternal place. It is a permanent place. It's a permanent dwelling place. It's going to be a forever, forever. Okay? And that you and I, once that element comes into being, you are going to exist forever in the presence of God in a place that is simply recognized as heaven. Heaven. Now, the Bible says that eyes haven't seen nor ears have heard what God has laid in store for. It makes it very plain that it's probably, as Paul said last time, you know, he went to the third heaven, and what he saw there were inexpressible words. So I guess the subject is far above our heads. Get it? There's no way that God could define something that is totally, completely in a spiritual arena to you and I in our finite minds and our fleshly life. Cannot comprehend what God has prepared for His people. But it's an eternal place, that's all. It's eternal. And it's perfect. Meaning what? Meaning exactly what it means. Perfect. There will be no sin there. Period. There'll be no sin. And it's amazing that how we have a movement out there in our world today that wants to classify certain lifestyles as there's really nothing wrong with a lifestyle. They claim they were born that way. Excuse me. That's a bunch of hogwash. Okay? And for them, they believe that no matter what, they're going to go to heaven and living in that lifestyle and so on and so forth. And they really believe that, I guess, because they don't know the book. The book is very clear. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it's amazing to me how many Christians hear people, family members, individuals who are living in this lifestyle and, well, you know, I guess that's your choice. There's really nothing wrong with it. I'm glad you found somebody that you can fall in love with and have and share your life with and on and on and on. And we talk to them as if there's nothing absolutely wrong with them taking that step into lesbianism and gay lifestyle. You got your Bibles open? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You're saying, where are you, Bill? I'm up here in front of you. All right? Verse 7. Actually, then, it is already a defeat for you that you will have lawsuits one with another. Why not rather be wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? On the contrary, you yourselves wrong and defraud. You do this even to your brethren. Verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not. Anybody know what will not means? Okay. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. That means they're not going to go to heaven. Do not be deceived. Oh, are we deceived? Are we being deceived? Neither fornicators. That means people having sexual relationship outside of marriage. That means people living together. See if they're compatible or not. That's fornication. That's what it means. Or as he says, idolaters. That means worshiping anything other than God himself. Worshiping other gods. Setting up. And most people don't realize that sometimes that idol is themselves. It's called humanism. The worship of self, the creature, rather than the creator. He said, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Adulterers are people who are married, and one of them has a relationship with someone other than their spouse. The word adultery comes from the word that has and is translated death. Remember, the Bible says you become one flesh. It also says, do you not know that if you join yourself to a harlot, that you become one with that harlot? So what happens is adultery means that when somebody has sexual relationship with other than with their husband and wife, they have just murdered that oneness. Doesn't it exist anymore because you've also come and have become one with somebody else. That makes sense? That's adultery. Nor effeminate. That means some man having his sexual identity changed and become a female. Acting like and being womanish in his lifestyle. God does not accept anything outside of that for which he created everything for its purpose. He's not going to change. My Bible says he created us male and female. What does your Bible say? Okay? In fact, you know, may not know this or not, but Paul writes in Corinthians, he gives us the form of authority in the universe. He says that God is over Christ, Christ is over man, and man is over woman. And then he says that the woman's glory is her hair. And so, ding dong bell, put you in the well, we'll put her in. Anyway, he says that the hair of the woman is her glory. It's her hair that separates her from the male. And then he said this, doesn't even nature teach you that it's a shame for men to have long hair? Bob, you never read that, have you? Oh, Ruth, you've read it. It's in the biblical text. And what does he mean? Nature. What is the most beautiful in the male race of nature? Male cardinal or the female? Huh? The pheasant. The male pheasant or the female? Yeah. Doesn't even nature show you that there's a clear distinction between a male and a female in the human and the animal world? A buck and a doe. Whatever it may be, God made a clear distinction. And God anticipated that there will be a clear distinction between a man and women. Effeminate. Those people are not going to go to heaven. So, I believe this is the Word of God. And you may not want to believe it's the Word of God. And you don't want to believe that, but this is what it says. The effeminate, nor, what? What's the next word? Homosexuals. They say, nowhere in the Bible does it condemn homosexuality. I've had them say that to me. They've confronted. They get angry with me. I try to reason with them and process the reasoning. What does your Bible say? They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Who? Homosexuals. Nor thieves. Nor the covetous. Nor drunkards. Nor revilers. Nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Note, such were some of you, but you were washed, sanctified, you had been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Okay? Now, if you want to know where homosexuality comes from, read chapter 1 of Romans. And it tells you where it comes from. It comes from a country, a nation, a person, or whoever who has had a knowledge of God, has come to know God, and has a knowledge of God, but refuses to acknowledge Him as God and begins to worship themselves, the creature, rather than the Creator. Are you listening? And the Bible says God gives them over to a reprobate mind, and men burn with passion for other men, and women for women. And there's no nation on the face of the earth that is more subject to these lifestyles than America, who built this nation on "in God do we trust." And we turned away from God, and God has turned away from us. And He's given people over to a reprobate. It's like a wild stallion whose will cannot be broken. That's what reprobate means. I'm serious, people. It's time for you and I as Christians to take a stand for God's Word and quit playing around and saying, well, you know, just whatever. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Those people are not going to spend eternity with God if they continue and don't repent, because such were some of these people, but they repented. They were washed. They were justified. They were changed by the grace of Almighty God. Amen. And we have to acknowledge that, because we're not living in a world like that anymore. We're living in a world of relativism. There is no right wrong. People can do whatever they feel is right in their own mind. And you don't have any right to tell them what they're doing is wrong. No, I don't. I do not have any right to tell them that. Okay, I don't. Because the world has already been judged by God through His Word. And every one of us is going to stand before God someday. Two books are going to be open. The Book of Life. And this one. And everyone is going to be judged out of the things that are written in this book. Did you know that? Now you hold it right there in your lap. You take it home. You hang it on a shelf somewhere. And maybe you remember to pick it up before you come to services next Lord's Day. This is God's Word. This is His message that He sent to us and personified it in a person of His Son. He was in the beginning, and the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He came and He manifested Himself, and the light have come, and light has dispelled darkness. How many of you want to go to heaven? You know that God says if you don't repent and change your lifestyle, you will perish. There's no question about it. Huh? No ifs, ands about it. All right? God has prepared a place. It's a prepared place. It's an eternal place. But God's not going to have a place where people are going to be able to come into it and then sin. No, God's place is going to be perfect. And right now, I'm living my life in this sinful world with all the power that God can give me through the Holy Spirit, accepting His Word to live day by day, not sinning willfully against my God, because I want to go to heaven. Turn to the person next to you and say, I want to go to heaven. Yeah, come on. I want to go to heaven. Okay. Because you see, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we will see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare for us a dwelling place there. There is a place prepared for you. It's permanent, and it's perfect. And it needs to be that which you are living with for as your prize. As your prize. Okay? A loved one passes away. Everybody is sorrowful, mourning, and so on. It's just like, if you will, you're standing on this Atlantic Ocean shoreline, and you watch the ship as if it's your loved one sailing away. And then it goes over the horizon. And you say, and the family says, and everybody says, there he or she goes. And all the way over on the other shoreline is Fred Chase, Dwayne Rensburger, my mom, my dad, my father-in-law, Julius Moore, those who have gone on before. Here he comes! Here he comes. There she comes. There she comes. There she comes, you see, because I believe we will know one another in heaven. I believe they'll know me, I'll know you, we'll be known as we are known, according to the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly, and then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Question. Do you recognize people today, if you can remember their names? I'm like some people, I can remember a face, but have trouble with the names. I may add that part of them, you know, so on and so forth. But brother, if I can recognize people today and recall their names and so on and so forth, am I going to be more limited in heaven to be able to do that? Or am I going to be more capable of knowing people by name? Knowing you by name. And aspects of that. The Bible says, you shall be known even as you are known. That, what does that mean? That means Jason is going to be Jason. I like Jason. I like that. It has a ring to it. It does, you know. I like these new names. Ava. Leah. Michaela. I have trouble remembering all some of those because there's so many new names coming on the line. And so I have to write them down saying, well, Lily. You know, that's a pretty name, man. How about Ivy? Pretty name, isn't it? Has an aspect of it, you know? Well, then you think back in the Old Testament, remember King David? And King David's first child that he had by Bathsheba died, right? And during the process of all that, while the son was sick, he fasted, he went through all kinds of sorrow and agonizing, praying to God for God to not take his son, and on and on he went. And then the day came that David's son died. And what did David do? He took a bath, washed himself, got back up, and so on and so forth. And the servants came to him and said, well, you know, when your son was sick and dying, you were praying and fasting, and now you're happy. And what's going on here? And King David, these are his words, not mine. He said, can I bring him back again? No. I will go to him, because he cannot return to me. 2 Samuel 12:23. So, well, think about it. Question. What comfort would David have if and when he gets there in heaven, he wouldn't be able to recognize his son was there? Good question, don't you think? Don't you think? I think so. How about the transfiguration? Remember Peter, James, and John were taken by the Lord. They went up into a mount. Remember that? And Jesus was glorified, and all of a sudden two other guys appear. Who are they? Moses and Elijah. Okay, and what did Peter say? What did Peter want to do? He wanted to build an altar, one to Jesus. Thank you. One to Jesus, one to Elijah, and one to Moses. Okay? Now come on, listen to me. Had Peter, James, and John ever met Moses and Elijah? Then how did they know who they were? How did they not recognize them? How could they just say, let's build an altar to Elijah, one to Moses, and so on and so forth. So the principle I see there is very clear. You won't have to wear name tags when you get to heaven. You will be known as you are known. We will not know less, we'll know more. We'll know as he knows. We'll have knowledge like he has in every aspect of it in that concept, okay? So nobody's going to come up to me and say, hi, Bill, glad you made it. I want to introduce you to, hi, Elijah. Hi, Abraham. I know who you are. I know who you are. We will know them. We will know them, okay? And they had never met Moses and Elijah. You know that, don't you? Well, it seems then, again, there will be no introductions, and I like the idea of no name tags. Okay. Now, Jesus also said in Matthew 8 and 11, he said to the disciples, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay. Does that not mean that in heaven, Abraham will be Abraham then? Will Isaac be Isaac then? Will Jacob be Jacob? If we're going to sit at this table with him in heaven, and he says you'll sit with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, seemingly they're going to be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And who am I going to be? Come on, you know my name. I've been called a lot of things. Wild Bill, whatever. I'll be known as Bill. You'll come. Hi, Bill. Hi, Judy. Hi, Kathy. Now, Kathy and I have this thing. She's Sister Kathy. I'm Brother Bill. We are a family. So what am I talking about? Someday there's going to be an unbelievable family reunion, and it's going to take place in heaven, and there will be a banquet, and there will be a table, and we're all going to come into it together. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins? Five were wise, five were foolish. And they came and wanted to go into the bride chamber, but the oil lamps had run out. You understand that parable? And they went in then later, but the door was shut. They knocked and they hammered, but it was locked inside. And Jesus said, I never knew you. So the principle, I guess, in answer and the question is simply this. When you and I look at the aspect of that transfiguration, or we looked at the point of sitting at Abraham and Isaac and Jacob's table, we will know them as they were known, and you will be known as you are known. Now, maybe I'll have a better sense of humor. Maybe my jokes will improve in heaven. I don't know. I have no idea, and I don't care. All I want to do is get there. And the sooner the better in aspects. But how about Philippians 2:16? Philippians 2:16, when Paul writes to the church at Philippi, these are the words that he says in Philippians 2, chapter 6, verse 16. He says that in encouraging them, he says, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I'll have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor did I toil in vain. So he's telling the Philippians, stay faithful. Stay faithful in death. Hang on to the word of life. Live it, do it, obey it. So that when I get to heaven, I'll see you there. I'll know that my labor wasn't in vain and wasn't in toil. I mean, how else then could he know that it wasn't in vain if he didn't recognize them when they get there? Well, get it? They even had no way to know that his labor wasn't in vain unless he could recognize the Philippians themselves that actually did make it into that beautiful place. Now, I don't know about you. You're my family. No man leaves father and mother, sister or brother for my sake, but in this world gains a hundredfold. See, the problem with us Christians in the modern 20th century is we haven't disconnected ourselves in a way to understand that the church is the body of Christ, but we are the family of God. We're God's family. We are God's family. Those who have been born again have been born again into the household of God. We are His children. We're going to spend eternity together. Now, there may be some of my physical family that aren't going to make it unless they change and repent and obey the gospel. I know that. I have no doubt about that. But I'm telling you right now, you are my motivation. You are a source of encouragement and strength to me to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life, and don't let go, because I want to know my labor was not in vain, that we're going to all stand around that great throne of God, and we're going to sing the song of redemption like we have never sung before, and we're going to sing it together. Amen? We'll sing it together. You are my brothers and my sisters in Christ. Used to be able to say, there's my mom sitting back there, but at my age, some of you aren't old enough to be my mom anymore. So I just have to say, you're all my brothers and sisters and so on and so forth. Most of my mothers and fathers in the Lord have gone on. You know what I mean by that? Huh? You know what I mean by that? And I can just see them. Honestly, I just can see Mama and Dad. I can see Marilyn's folks, Ed and Ruth, standing over there on the other shoreline, and they're waiting for me to come home. They're waiting for me. Now, you may stand at that shoreline and you may weep over me. You may sorrow, and some of you may be happy. I don't know. Doesn't make any difference. But as far as my heart is concerned, I'm going over the horizon, beyond the sunset, some blissful day. I'm going to be reunited with those who have gone on before me. I believe that with all my heart. I'm not going to miss that. I'm not going to miss seeing my mom and dad. I know they're there. I baptized them both. I saw the change in their lives. I'm not going to miss being there with Edwin and Ruth and those others who have gone on before me. There's going to be a great family reunion that's going to take place someday. And I'm preparing for that because there's a prepared place for me. I can't wait to get there because there will be no imperfections, there's no sin, none of this what we're put up with down here. There'll be none. It'll be perfect. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be heaven. And I want to see Tim and Mandy Wood there. Mike and Diane. I could go around and name all of you. You are my prize. You know that? You're what I live for. Every Sunday, every Lord's Day, I prepare to come to be with you. Because I believe we are the family of God, and we're going to spend eternity together someday. Okay? That's why I try my best to express to you how much I care, how much I love you, and how much I appreciate all of you. I want you to be there. I want you to make it. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life and don't let go of it. Don't sell your prize for a bowl of soup. Because that's all the world can give you. And most of the time when you get the bowl, it's already empty. Nothing there. The world has nothing to offer to us, does it? Anything that's eternal, anything that's basically has within it life that you and I can share together. So we're going to sing. We're going to sing that great last verse of Beyond the Sunset, Oh Glad Reunion, okay? And sing it together as a party, because brother and sister in Christ, we're going to go to heaven. If I got anything to say about it, you're going to make it. Okay? So let's stand and let's sing together.